Welcome to the Naples Community Church Podcast with Pastor Kurt Anderson. Thank you for joining us today. We hope you find this sermon inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective to see God moving in your life. We trust God has great things in store for you. Enjoy today's message.
Good morning, everyone. This isn't intimidating at all. Pastor Kurt sitting here in his black robe. It is a true honor. I'm Dan Edmondson, by the way, and it is a true honor to stand before you this morning. I don't know if you realize this, but not every pastor is comfortable having guest speakers, and Kurt is not that way at all, and so I am just grateful to you, Kurt, Pastor Kurt, for this opportunity. So this morning, if you have your Bible, and if you don't, there's one right in front of you there underneath your chair. I'm going to be reading out of Acts chapter 17. So Acts chapter 17, and it's in the New Testament, and verses, I'm only going to just preach from three verses, although we are going to look at some amazing verses in 1 Corinthians 15 as well, if you want to stick a pinky there. But Acts chapter 17, Luke, the writer of Acts, says this. Now, while Paul waited for them, now you don't know who the them are, but we'll get to that later. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. Then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him, and some said, "What does this babbler want to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods because he preached to them Jesus." Now, don't miss this last part. He preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. So, like Pastor Kurt, I grew up in Southern California. Remember when that used to be a fun thing to say? And believe it or not, I lived just a few miles from Disneyland, not Disney World. I've never been to Disney World. I have no idea what it's like. But as a kid, growing up in Southern California, and I think one of the things I love about Naples is, you may not realize this, but to me, this feels like the Southern California I grew up in. But I can remember riding my bike as a kid down Harbor Boulevard just to get a glimpse of the backside of Disneyland. And you could see the Matterhorn. And growing up in Southern California, my family wasn't rich. We weren't poor. We were just kind of a middle-class family. But I would probably go to Disneyland maybe 2-3 times a year. I mean, it was just kind of part of what you did. And I can still to this day remember going to Disneyland and walking through the gate and feeling like I was literally in a different world. And I remember back in the day when you went to Disneyland, I have no idea how much it is now, it wasn't that much when it first opened, but you would actually get a little booklet. And this little booklet would have tickets in the booklet, and every ticket would be a different color. And so you would use, I don't remember which ones they were, gold and whatever, but for example, if you wanted to go on Pirates of the Caribbean, you couldn't use the cheesy ticket. You had to use the really nice ticket, and that would get you in. And I can remember as a kid, you know, sitting there on the ride thinking, maybe there really are pirates. And then Tom Sawyer's Island, and it's a small world. And you had the opportunity to be on one of those steamships that would go down the Mississippi, and the haunted house. I grew up in a really conservative church. We were told not to go into the haunted house, but I did anyway. And it was just one of those places where you wanted to believe that it was a special place on this planet. But you know what happens, right? We grow up. we get old. And then we don't really want to go to Disneyland, but then maybe our kids do or our grandkids. But there's something that happens when you grow older, you begin to lose some of the magic. I love the writings of Tolkien, and Tolkien says this. He says, the value of myth is that it takes all the things we know and restores to them the rich significance which has been hidden by the veil of familiarity. This is such a good quote. I want to read it again. The value of myth is that it takes all the things we know and restores to them the rich significance which has been hidden by the veil of familiarity. And as I was preparing this message, I thought of what the Apostle Paul, I'm going to talk a lot about Paul, what he says in 1 Corinthians 13:12. He says, for now we see, he's speaking to followers of Jesus, he says, for now we see in a mirror dimly. In other words, the Apostle Paul says to followers of Jesus, you know, we know that there's something more. We know that this life is not an accident. Even if you're not a follower of Jesus, people intuitively know that there's something out there. There's something magical, but right now, it's just cloudy. We don't have a lot of details. Paul even said in another place in 1 Corinthians, he said he claimed to, he knew a man who actually went to heaven and came back. And Paul says, even if that man could stand before you and describe it to you, you wouldn't get it because we can't quite see. So let's go back to Acts 17. This is a great section of scripture because Paul is on his second missionary journey. For those of you that have the Bibles with the little maps in the back, I won't be offended if you want to look at the map. But on the second missionary journey, Paul is with the missions team. Paul never ministers alone. He always does what he does with the team, which is the best way to minister. Amen? And there's just one time in his life where he has to flee for his life. Literally, they're in northern Greece, and he gets into some trouble, and the missions team says to him, listen, we're going to put you on a boat, go down to Athens, there's so many people there, no one will ever find you. You take the sea route, we'll take the overland route, and probably in about 2 weeks, we'll meet up with you. And so, on his second missionary journey, Paul the Apostle ends up in the city of Athens. Now, I don't know if anyone here, I'm sure you guys have, if anyone here ever been to the city of Athens, it is one of the craziest cities on the planet. I've only been there once, but I mean, chaotic, lots of traffic. Last time my wife and I were there, there was a garbage strike. It's one of those cities that, you know, like many European cities, there's just so much going on. Well, it was that day. It was that way in Paul's day as well. And so Paul goes to Athens and he's by himself for safety purposes. And Luke says he's just kind of wandering the streets and he's talking with anybody that will listen to him. But finally, he ends up in the Areopagus. And if you can picture Greece, probably the most famous thing, landmark in Greece is the Acropolis, right? Well, if you're standing at the Acropolis and you look down, you can see kind of a rocky outcropping, and it's still there today, and that's called the Areopagus, and that was the place where theologians, religious people, politicians, soldiers, people of great influence would meet, and they would have discussions, and it's even said, N.T. Wright says, it was even a place where they would hold court. And this is where Paul ends up. And there are some people that want to hear what it is that he has to say. And notice what Paul does. He simply preaches the person of Jesus Christ and the resurrection. Now, here's an interesting thing to do sometime on your own time. If you would study the messages of Paul, you would see that 99% of the time, whenever he gives a message, he talks about the resurrection. N.T. Wright says this, God revealed his ultimate purposes for the world in Jesus' resurrection. You know, it's interesting. This week, I had a woman come into my clinic, And I'm a clinical mental health counselor here in Naples. And she came in and she sat down and she said, I want to show you what my husband gave me for a gift this week. And she was wearing this absolutely beautiful, looked like it was genuine silver cross. And when you think about the main symbol for Christianity, I mean, you don't have to look far, right? It's the cross. But did you know that many people were crucified? Jesus was not the only person who was crucified, but Jesus is the only person in human history that experienced the resurrection. Now you say, but Dan, there were lots of people in the Old Testament that were raised from the dead, and what about Lazarus? Lazarus was raised from the dead. There were other people that came back from the dead, but that's not the resurrection. You see, the resurrection is that you get a new body. Lazarus is gone. Everybody that Jesus raised from the dead, their body's no longer here. And so Paul really believed that as he is telling people about Jesus Christ, he has got to talk about the resurrection. And that's why I'm here this morning. I want to talk to you this morning about the resurrection. Now, if you're here and you're thinking, Dan, newsflash, it's not Easter. Pastor Kurt already talked about the resurrection. Can we just get to the member spotlight? Let me just read to you what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. And listen, before you go to bed tonight, read 1 Corinthians 15. It will so bless you. Paul says this, verse 17, and if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep, that means died, in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all people the most pitiable. I love Eugene Peterson's stuff. Eugene Peterson in The Message puts it this way. If all we get out of Christ is a little inspiration for a few short years, we're a pretty sorry lot. I just love the way he puts it. He says, basically, as followers of Jesus, if there's no resurrection, we're the dumbest people on the planet. We're just going around telling people, have a good day, but there really isn't a good day. And yet this is the crown jewel of what we believe, the resurrection. There's no other event in human history that is as significant as the resurrection. So, why am I here today? I want to talk with you, and forgive me, I was raised Baptist. Whenever I preach, I usually have three things. It's just kind of in my DNA. I'm not saying it's the best way, it's just my way. But I want to give you three things that I think are significant about the resurrection. The resurrection is significant because, number one, it is our ultimate hope for a new kind of body. It is our ultimate hope for a new kind of body. That's what Paul preached. Now, I don't want you to whisper to your neighbor what your ailment is, but raise your hand if you have a physical ailment. Raise your hand if you are here this morning and you have something that physically has really been bothering you. Some of you know that I love to ride Vespa scooters. Vespa scooters, they've been Piaggio out of Italy, has been making them for 77 years. They were designed to get around bombed out Italy when you couldn't drive a car through the streets. And you will find me at Vespa Naples. This is not a commercial, but if I don't have a client, that's what I do. I go over to Vespa Naples. I'm not on the payroll, and I just talk to people about scooters. I sold one to Wayne and Willie. We all know how that went. But Wayne, if you're watching, I'm sorry. But I love to ride scooters, and I've ridden motorcycles my whole life since I was 5 years old. And this time, last year, I was on my scooter and I was riding through downtown Naples, and all of a sudden, I couldn't see out of my right eye. I mean, it was almost instantaneous. Now, I could see my peripheral vision, but I couldn't see in front of me. Now, if you have good vision and you're driving around Naples, period? This is a spooky place. I have never in my life seen, Pastor Kurt, have you ever seen so many people that run red lights in this place? I mean, it's downright spooky. Now imagine you're on a Vespa scooter and you lose your vision. And so I knew I was in trouble, and I went to LensCrafters down 41, and I talked with one of the doctors there, and she said, you've got to see this surgeon right away. And so a week later, I went in, and I got to see this surgeon, and she said, Dan, basically what's happened is in the back of your eye, everything is just disintegrating. And I said, that's bad, right? And she said, yes, but I can fix it. And I said, well, how are you going to do that? She said, well, I have these real teeny tiny little tools. So I said to her, I wish I could give you her name, fantastic surgeon. So am I going to be awake for this? And she said, uh-huh. So I said, let me get this straight. So you're going to like put needles in the back of my eye and you're going to stitch something up and I'm going to be able to see. And she said, yep, that's how it's going to work. And so I did it and I got my sight back. But she said, in a year, you're going to have a second surgery. So it's not been quite 2 weeks. I had a second surgery. Listen, dear ones, I'm getting older. We are all getting older. We are wearing out. Our bodies, the Bible calls them tents. Some of the tents in here look better than others. Paul says this. He says in 1 Corinthians 15:42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. You are going to get a new body. Man, when we were kids, we never thought about growing old. Dustin, I don't know if you can put this slide up here, but we used to do this when we were kids. I guarantee you Pastor Kurt did this because this was the thing to do in L.A. Now our kids, they're in the basement, you know, with the hoodie and playing video games. We would see how many of our neighborhood buddies we could line up and jump over them. We didn't even know what a bike helmet was. It's really a miracle of God that all of us are still here, right? But we didn't think about our bodies wearing out. We didn't think about getting old, but we are. Every day we are wearing out. And Paul stands, of all the messages he could have preached in front of all these super important people, you know what he does? He preaches Jesus and the resurrection. He says there's going to be a day when you're going to get a new body. And if the only reason you came here this morning was to hear that, then so be it, because you need to hear that. Followers of Jesus, this is a temporary fix. Number two, the resurrection is significant because it's our guarantee that what we do here matters. Pastor Kurt's been recently in Matthew and the Sermon on the Mount, some scriptures there, and the Lord's Prayer. Listen to Matthew chapter 6, verse 4. Jesus is talking about things that we do for other people, and he says, when you do it that your charitable deeds may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Did you know that the word reward occurs 75 times in the Bible? We don't talk a lot about reward in church. I'm not really sure why, but the Bible is clear that what you do here matters in eternity. And in fact, if you are a follower of Christ, eternity's already begun. What you do here matters. The resurrection should completely alter the way that you move through your day. One author this week I read said this, life is not a dress rehearsal. We are not simply, I gotta tell you, I wasn't real happy about this. But a couple of weeks ago, Janet and I go back to Seattle every couple of months to see our kids and grandkids. My daughter said to me, oh, so you guys have moved to the big waiting room. And I said, what do you mean? She said, well, you moved to Florida. That's where everybody goes to die. Love you too, Elise. But that's not true. This is not the waiting room. We are not in an elevator. Eternity started when you said yes to Jesus. Listen, just last night, you know, I was in Publix. I don't know if this happens to the rest of you, but, you know, I'm in Publix. It's busy, even though it's off season. And you know what you do. Don't be so pious. You do the same thing I do. You try to sneak more stuff in the line with only 10 things, right? And so I've got one of those green baskets, and I probably have like 25 things in there. And, you know, I'm just kind of standing there like, that's right. I'm going to get through the line. And the person behind me has two things. So, you know, the Holy Spirit just, it's one of those, remember the cartoons, good angel, you know, and then the devil's on the other shoulder, and the Holy Spirit saying, Dan, let him by. I was like, no way. I have been standing here, I have things to do, but I did. Now, you may think that's just a funny little story, but remember, the Bible says that even if you give a cup of cold water to someone on a hot day, that God takes notice. If we ever had a missionary here that came to talk and maybe just casually mentioned, you know, that they needed transportation, and someone in our congregation went out that day and bought a used car and secretly gave it to them, God takes notice. When you put a check in the offering for a kid that gets a backpack, and I've been to some of these meetings where kids get backpacks, you know, it's like someone giving you a Lexus. I mean, it's just such an amazing thing. As a church body, we are so blessed. God has put NCC in a position in the world, in Naples, in Collier, like no other church. We have the opportunity to do things for God that other churches, quite frankly, can't do. Yeah, that's you. It's not the person sitting next to you. And whenever you do something in secret for God, there's a reward. There's a blessing reserved for you in heaven. It's not a selfish thing. It's a Jesus thing. Because that's how the world knows about God, is when we do things sacrificially and we bless them. You know, my wife and I, we don't come to this church because it has correct theology. I think it does. I think that's important. We don't come to this church because it's a beautiful building and about to become an even more beautiful building. We come to this church because people care about us. We went to 7 different churches in Naples before we ended up here. I did not want to come to this church. And I think I have mentioned this before because, you know, if you go online, there's something in there about a cauldron. And I didn't want to go to a church that had cauldron in its vision statement or on the web. But this is the best cauldron you could ever be a part of. Jesus said, they will know we are Christians. How? By our love. I don't know if Becky's watching online, but she's really the reason we're here. Because the first Sunday we came here, I was like, I don't know about this cauldron. And she came up to us and she said, you guys are going to the church picnic, right? Yeah, I guess we are. And that was 2 years ago almost. The resurrection is important. Number 3, this is our final point here, is that it allows us to look beyond our present situation. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:3. He says, do you not know... He's speaking to believers. Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? And then in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul says, the saying is trustworthy. That means you can believe it. For if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. Listen, dear ones, heaven is not going to be you sitting on a cloud with a bunch of naked baby angels or some eternal church service. Honestly, for me, that sounds like the other place, right? I don't want to go someplace where church never ends. It's going to be nothing personal, Pastor Kurt. I love this church, and I love Pastor Kurt's preaching. I really do. But heaven is going to be a place where God, pulls you aside and says, you know all those gifts and all those wonderful character traits that I have put in you? Well, we get to spend eternity developing those things. Billy is so blessed. I mean, he probably never had to practice the piano. I want to play the piano, and someday I'm going to get to. And if it takes me 1,000 years, who cares? The resurrection is important because it allows us to look beyond our present situation. I want to close with this. I don't know if you've ever read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe by C.S. Lewis, but basically it's a story about these little kids, and they find their way through, unwittingly, through a giant wardrobe, and they end up metaphorically in heaven. And Lewis writes at the very end of their journey, when they're in Narnia, which is a metaphor for heaven, he says this: so they lived in great joy, and if ever they remembered their life in this world, it was only as one remembers a dream. I don't know which book it is, but there's another book where Lewis says that we have it all backwards, because the media has fooled us into believing that this is what it's all about and that heaven is a dream. No, it's the exact opposite. This is the dream. And when you step into the next life, you wake up. That is the gospel. Would you join me in prayer? Our Father, I am so encouraged that even though I am no longer 20, that one day, that which I have lost will be restored. We are a church that has suffered great loss, and yet today we are reminded of all that is yet to come. And I thank you, Jesus, that even though we are one heartbeat away from the other side, that we can begin to live in that resurrected life today. And all God's people said, amen.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, there are a few things you can do. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. For more information, you can visit us online at www.naplescommunitychurch.org. If you happen to be visiting Naples, please drop in for our Sunday service at 10 a.m. We'd love to meet you. Thanks again for joining us. Have a fabulous day.